evening, Patriots. Before we start, just another reminder of the My Slipper Revolution. Slipper Revolution. And so what are we doing? We are supporting MyPillow. Get that sales up there to make up for the nastiness that the left did to Mike Lindell, taking away $64 million in sales and his away from his company. And what are we going to do? We are going to go about bringing $69 million of sales back, which is a million My Slippers. That's our goal. And I think we can do it. I think as patriots across this world, we can do it. So we want to drive hard to bring up that and really establish how much strength we have as a patriot movement, making the slipper revolution a reality, showing truly by numbers what we can do when we get behind a company as a signal to everybody else in the world that we're not playing games. And it's an important thing. We love Mike Lindell. We love MyPillow and what he stands for. Remember, you've got a Bards code, B-A-R-D-S, to use as a discount. And you can do that at MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Or you can call the number, which I've got to look up here again. I don't have their number memorized. But it's 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. So another little surprise we have tonight. I think it's a surprise. And I think that, yeah, I'm sure it's a surprise, in fact. I believe somebody's having a birthday tonight. I believe it's one of our mods that's having a birthday tonight. In fact, it's Paper Bag is having a birthday tonight. One of our mods, Paper Bag, from Canada. We need to give her a big patriot happy birthday to Paper Bag Patriot. Paper Bag Patriot, one of our great mods. I think this is so awesome. And one of our great other mods discovered this. Let's see if I can get something up here real quick. See what this sounds like. I can't guarantee this is going to sound perfect, but we'll try. There we go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Paper Bag Patriot. Perfect. It actually worked just fine. So happy birthday, and thank you, Paper Bag, for all that you do. We have one of our great mods here from Canada and from the great area of Alberta, which is one of the great provinces in Canada where they truly love the world, love freedom. They're like, they should be part of the United States anyway. That's what they should be. So happy birthday, and we are so happy to have you part of the Bards family. It's truly great. Okay. So that music, though. I'm going to have to do something about happy birthday music. I got to get something like really jazzy or something. I'll work on it. But I think that was okay. So let's veer into, find what I was looking for here. And it is this. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. I'm going to tell you, these words are, I think, so important in our daily life, and it's so easy to slip on them a little bit. That, by the way, is Colossians 3:23-24. And why I bring this up is it's so easy in this day to get swept up into the noise and the things that are going around us that we forget that when we're truly serving the Lord in everything we do and we're listening and we're moving forward in that, in the direction he wants us, that is our purpose, ultimately. There's nothing greater that we can do. And the Lord does provide us for all we need. We just need to be great stewards of the gifts he gives, great stewards of what he provides. And so we really need to be in that place where we are serving the Lord in everything that we do. It's easy to forget, and it's easy to slide. And yet when we take that breath and we take a step back, what a wonderful place it becomes. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. This is, again, our pride, our ego, our own desires, our frustrations, our a lot of things. We get in our way, and we seem to we just misplace priorities too often. When we put God first in all things, we are spiritual first in all things, we are physical second in all things. Everything we are doing, and we take that accountability in all that we do through God, and we're listening to where God wants us to go, we end up in some pretty interesting places sometimes. Not always where we intend to be or thought we would be, but always, if we're listening, greater and better than we ever thought possible to be. I mean, I'll use this. I mean, I podcast now 4 times a day. And it was never something, it was something that I felt I wanted to do, but I never imagined being where I am right now. And I'm here, even the morning show and this show all came from last fall when I woke up literally and it was very clear. It was, we need more prayer and worship. So I started and I just have followed. The bended knee prayer, 111, was in prayer. It was just, you need to start bended knee. I didn't even know what it was. And I'm saying this just from the experience of looking backwards at this and going, man, those were powerful words, powerful guidances. And when we listen and we move on them, we have to take a step away from the compulsions of asking ourselves, like, how is that going to make me money? Or how is this going to pay my bills? Or where am I going to find the time? God's asking us to do something. We have to move on that. We have to move forward on that very powerfully. And when we do, God provides. It's pretty much that simple. And as we all move forward in this time, God's calling all of us to do things. I don't know what's in your life he's calling. I know more and more what he's asking me to do. I mean, look at where we are right now with Bard's Fest. I mean, this was an idea somebody put up here one night when we were on live chat as we were doing a Q&A about 3 months ago. Are you going to do, it was a question. And it was a question not on the board, but on a question that was had for me that they had sent in, which is, are you going to do some sort of rallies or speeches for patriots? And I said, I was kind of like, oh yeah, one of these times maybe. And I just kind of did the classic walk around the edge on that one, non-committal. And that was in Bard's FM show. So I had some dinner and I came back and I sat down, and I mean, it was just like someone smacked me and they're like, yes, just say yes. I'm like, okay. So I got on that show, this show, but about 3 months ago. And I said, yeah, we're going to have a festival. That's all I knew. I didn't even give it a second thought. We had no idea where we're going to be. We've prayed on this. We've let God guide us on this. Everything is happening as it should. It is the most amazing event. I mean, the people that have come together for this event, the people that are stepping up, never imagined that we would have Mike Lindell there. We didn't imagine we would have Dr. Sherry Ten. I mean, these are the people that are signing up. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Carrie Madej, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Larry Pilevsky. Pastor Greg Locke. We have Clay Clark. We have Pastor Tony Wood. We have Pastor Travis Graham. I mean, we are Eric Naputo. We are getting people stepping up to this, right? It's amazing. Brian Kahanek. We are, all these people are stepping in. Yes, I want to be part of it. And it's growing every single day. We have our facility, right? We know where we're going to be now. We started in the idea of looking at South Dakota, and now we're in the middle of the country in a great place, St. Charles, Missouri. All of this is coming in place. And it's all through the prayers that we put forward on this and letting God guide us in every single step of this. It's truly amazing. So following as God is calling right now in particular is it's always important, but I would say right now it's far greater than that because we're in the middle of a big war. And it's a war that's trying to squeeze away our country, squeeze away our freedoms, squeeze away our faith. And it's a war that's being waged on the most insidious of levels because it's not just a war of rights or a war of legislation or a war of legalities. It's a war as well using a bioweapon, which is being injected into people. And there are consequences that we are witnessing. And when we are moving forward here, it's not going to be any easier. We have to hold that line. I say that a lot, and I think I may sound like, okay, what's he getting at? Does he know something? No, I don't. I'm just watching the trends, okay? I'm watching what I see, and I'm seeing the numbers every day, and I'm seeing hearing the cases of the children, and I'm hearing the cases of the adults, and I'm hearing the cases of, you know, the things that are happening that are just, it's all related to this bioweapon. And we have to literally stay engaged in a big way. It's not going to be easy. And in order for us to stay engaged in this, we are going to have ourselves rock solid in faith. And we have to have our priorities set. And if we sit back and we're going to be honest with what's going on, we have seen a number of people, and I mean a number, because all you have to do is go to the churches and find out how many of them have taken this death shot, this injection. And what do you say to that? I mean, I'm hard on it online. I'm openly hard on it, not just online. I'm openly pretty brutal on it because it's something that offends me. And maybe it shouldn't, but I'll just admit my humanity here because of all the people, those in churches that have decided to take this, I'm literally saying those words, where is your faith? And in that point is you've turned your back on God. I don't make an apology to God for being upset about it. I am upset about it because it's like you turned your back on God. You just gave God the middle finger. And it's like, okay, you know, and I get pretty cold about it too. It's like you're sticking it to God, and then you're wanting to be saved, and so that seems like a big hypocrisy right there to me, right? That's not leadership either. And in a communities where people are looking for faith and they're looking to guide them, when you start having that, those aren't people you can turn to. They've already shown that on a bad weather day, which is, and that's metaphorical, that they're not going to stay solid on their rock with faith. They're going to jump off it. They're going to try to swim the ocean themselves. Well, all I can say is it's pretty rough waters. Good luck. So the shot has consequences, and the consequences are being hidden as much as they can, but it's escalating and it's growing. I have a friend who is a special forces veteran. He was telling me the other day that he goes in and he gets his hair cut by one particular lady down in Southern California. And she said, her comment was, I cannot believe how many clients I'm losing that are dying after they take the shot. We don't hear that in the news. But the numbers are there. That's why these numbers, like with VAERS, when you hear like there's 4,000 people that are reported dead from this shot, that's a lie. It's an underreported statement. I shouldn't say it's a lie. It's an underreported statement. They say it's 1 to 10%. It's probably 1%. And that's just what we're seeing continuing to grow. So the consequences are very real. And what we're all going to face is this sort of reality before us. We're going to witness this. It has to come to a point of being unavoidable. And it's not a question of, it really isn't a question for us to discern of who's delivering it, as I was kind of getting at last hour or the earlier show. Because one could make an argument that this is could be the wrath of God or this could be the hand of Lucifer. In the end, all roads lead to the same thing, which is that people are going to have to start facing the bad choice and taking accountability for the choices that they made. Our role doesn't change, however. And this is where it gets, I start looking at, like even last night's show, which I had a good time doing, even though some people didn't like it. That's okay. There's a point where you have to take a perspective on things that you enjoy. You have to find the humor in the darkest hours. And I'm telling you this from experience. I'm telling you this from experience of spending 3.5 years in Afghanistan away from my culture. I spent 3.5 years away from my country. I spent 3.5 years in Afghanistan to a large degree living on local culture, being local to it, around just a few people and spending a lot more time with Afghans than I did Americans. And so in that place, you have to find an ability to find humor even in the darkest of hours. And if you can't do that, I'm simply going to tell you, it's more than you can bear. God gave us humor for a reason. He gave us an ability to laugh at things. And he gave us an ability to look at things from a crazy set of eyes. And we need to. And that's why, I've said that you have to have a relationship with God that you can also tease with God a little bit. Eric Napudi, who you're going to get a chance to meet, he's part of Bard's Fest, helping us on the Missouri side, very successful chiropractor. And he and I were having a conversation the other day, and he and I are very much of kindred spirit here in the sense that God is with him all the time, as I agree. And he's like, talking to God, talking to Christ, inviting them into everything. That's part of the action that we need to be at. And at times it's heavy. At times you're laughing. At times you're joking. Because it's real. And because if all those emotions that we have are not part of what God is, then something's wrong. So even in the darkest of moments, when you think like you have despair, the great warriors stand up and are able to laugh at the darkness. And you have to be able to laugh at the darkness. You have to be able to look it square in the eye when it wants to suck the life out of you. It wants to take you. It wants to impale you on a stick. And you have to laugh at it. Because it's got nothing on you. Doesn't matter what it does to you. You've already got life. You've already won the lottery. You have Christ in your heart. And that right there, is all you need. And it gives you that ability to laugh. And if we can't do that, we've missed something in our own humanity. Being human and being sovereign, both of those items right now, a large percentage of the world's population is struggling with. Because humanity has been reduced down to obedience and willful compliance and fear. To a large degree, humanity's become a group of people that freedom is translated to obedience to government's words and to walk in fear. Because fear is what we're told is all around us. We're afraid for what goes bump in the night. That's an interesting piece. I don't know how much time you spend at night outside. But if you think about our lives, most of our lives are spent indoors at night. It's one of the reasons I love to backpack. One of the reasons I love to tent camp. Because you only have a fine piece of cloth between you and the outside world. And you have to get to know the night. And the night is one of those things that, believe it or not, until you really live in the night, you learn how much we've been indoctrinated to fear the night. It's nothing to fear, except fear itself. We fear the night, and one of the reasons I love the night, we fear the night because we can't see everything. But we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And when we embrace the night for what it gives us, it allows us to see more clearly during the day. The night is one of the greatest places of calm. It's one of the places where we find the quiet to hear the world. And it's one of those places that your other senses, what you hear, what you smell, what you may touch or sense with feel, maybe even what you taste, because it's what you taste on the air, all of those become heightened because your sight becomes dulled or obscured. And as much as we strain at the night to try to use our peripheral vision or try to see things deeply, the only way you're truly going to see in the night is if you could let go of the dependence on our sight. And we look deeply into our heart to discover what's really around us. Those are the sorts of lessons that as we walk in this world, if we can remember those, we have great strength. And it's in those moments when we can pull from that, when we look truly at an evil that stands before us, that we can have the strength to stand up to it and laugh at its face. Laughter is good. Humor is good. And with humor, we also have to remember integrity. We don't have a lot of things that define us in being human, but we have a few that are pretty critical. Our faith, our integrity as human beings, and our ability to laugh are three of the tops. It's what defines us. If we take away humor, we're just very dull beings. We lose a lot of our depth and dimension of who we are. If we always want to be serious and heavy, we frame a world that's serious and heavy. And so we have to walk in a place of balance. We have to be willing to take a jump out and laugh. And even in the midst of crises, when we can take a moment, like I've told you stories already, that we were sitting in a fire base one night in eastern Zabul province, which is outside of Kandahar. And it was in a little fire base called Karni, which actually was not a fire base at all. It was called the combat outpost, which is quite literal because it was three Americans, myself and two others, and about 30-some Afghan soldiers. Nearest supply run one direction was 5 hours. The nearest supply run another direction was 8 hours. And at the time, if we could get air, because air assets were fairly limited, it'd take at least an hour to get air mobilized to get to us. So naturally, that's Taliban love that sort of stuff because they know it. And they like to shoot at you, and they like to shoot a lot of RPGs at you, and they like to shoot mortars at you, and they like to shoot, if they can get them, which they had them, they like to shoot long-range rifles at you, try to shoot, get you with Chechenian snipers, little things like that. And so we were sitting on the top of the FOB, the little fire base we had made, the combat outpost, and we had a bunkered-in area up above so we could see the battle going on. And the sniper, who we learned later, was a Chechenian sniper of some skill, too, because he was at about 1,000 meters, which is a fairly good shot. He fired a shot at my camera, because I was filming, and I had an infrared illuminator, which he was seeing, which I didn't realize at the time, that it was lighting me up, and he was seeing me because he was using night vision. So he fired at me, and he missed me, and he hit the steel girder that was literally right at my head level, which kind of made a big spark and a lot of noise. And it's in those moments you can panic, or as we did, we started laughing because he missed. And as Tony, my good friend, said, he goes, you know what? He says, I think we finally got ourselves a little gunfight here. It doesn't sound like much, but it was hilarious when you're in the moment. And in those moments of stress, you've taken that moment of craziness and you've turned it into a bit of humor to laugh. And that's literally laughing in the face of death. It's important to get that in your head, because you can't have any fear. God's got you. And when God's got you, the only fear that you have is going to come from what you cling on to in the moment. Those are great times. We were another night, we were in the same, we had a lot of action. It was a busy week. Let's say it that way. It's a busy week. So we were, all three of us were laying on our head against a log, kind of in a row. We were looking up at the stars. It was the most amazing place ever. It's right on the edge of the Himalayas. And I mean, it is, you are looking into some of the purest, most beautiful skies you can ever imagine. You are seeing stars so clearly. And there's so many. There's no city lights around forever. And it's just like you're looking deep into, almost like you're looking at something in a telescope. And we had just got through talking about how, man, this would be such an awesome place to backpack. And we were all agreeing, sitting there, that if only we didn't have a war to fight. And I swear we didn't finish that sentence. And the first round hit the wall behind my head and blew stuff all over me. And it's hard to describe that moment, because it's almost poetically perfect. It's like the punchline at the end of your sentence. It's like, yeah, no kidding, but there is a war on, and the way we go. When you face the end of things, that same firebase where we got to the end of a week and we're almost out of ammo. We were almost out of water. We were almost out of food. And we had been told that our resupply was not going to arrive for another day. And we were watching the Taliban move into the village. They were so bold as to send a runner to the gate and to tell us that they knew that there were three Americans inside the base and that they were offering $10,000 for the two American soldiers and $20,000 for the guy in civilian clothes, which was me. See, that's a moment when you have to celebrate. You celebrate because now you can go and tell your buddies, it's like, for all the cool stuff, gear you have, I'm wearing civilians and I'm worth $10,000 more than you. War is real. And I've said this many times, is that in war, you see the best and the worst of people. And you see the best and the worst of humanity. And right now, what everybody has to get a grip on is you're in a war. So it's hard, because it's hard to adjust in this. You're in a war right now because you're not seeing, but it's hard to grasp because you're not seeing the lethal shots coming across the front of your rig, or blowing up dust around your feet, or an IED blowing up and leaving somebody severed in half, or worse yet, leaving their face halfway across the street. You're in a war right now, and even though you're not seeing the bodies around you or having people trying to kill you that you can see, they're doing it through the agencies that you typically have trusted. So your world is upside down. What is left is right. What is true is false. And all of that becomes just one big mess of trying to sort out what you're actually part of. Reality is that you're in a war. You're in a spiritual war. You're now in a physical war because they're trying to destroy humanity. And you're surrounded by people that are, that you had trusted perhaps, or just people you had seen or known. And now you don't know where they sit, because if they've taken this injection, you don't know what side of the fence they're on. Are they going to awaken and come back and repent, literally? Or are they going to stay locked into that matrix? And who knows what will happen to them with this injection in them? So it's a very unsettling war. It's a war of influence. It's a war of deception. And it's a war of spiritual and physical destruction. And the worst part about it is it's not like you can target the aircraft that's dropping the bombs or get any warning signs. It's being done by people with their own free will. And that makes the battlefield plural. It's around you, and it's difficult to find those places. That's modern warfare. That's what we refer to as an asymmetric fight of the truest fashion, a multidimensional fight. And it's a place where everything about your faith is and will continue to be challenged. I'm not telling you how to worship. I'm just telling you, you need to get it clear. And you're going to have to face some things that are going to challenge your faith that won't necessarily line up with the way you would want them to. But in the end, it's through faith and through the relationship of God that we are able to navigate these things as the only truth. In the information war that we're in, we are in a post-truth era. There is nothing that you can trust. Everything is deception. And we constantly hear promises of like, well, Patriots are going to release this, and they're going to do a disclosure, and all the truth's going to be revealed. I don't know. I really don't. And maybe that's true, but I don't count on it. Because I see that truth is going to be revealed through the actions of God's soldiers. I see division as a normalcy unless God can find a way to heal. I see the worship of God being more persecuted by those that are increasingly being sucked back into the matrix. But this is what I know in my heart. There's only one way to live. And it's not a way to live to bow to evil. It's quite contrary, to stand up more boldly to evil, because Christ is within us and that's what we do. There is only one way. And though we may not agree on all the things that we say or the way we interpret, say, scripture or interpret events, that's part of being human. That's part of experiencing the personal relationship that you have with God. But what is real is that it's that relationship that we have with God through Christ that is going to be the only thing that pulls you through this. In true confession, true honesty. I don't like the word confession. Through true honesty of what I'm going to say, I'm very at home right now because this is war. And I feel very comfortable in these zones. I feel very comfortable in the plurality of the events. I feel very comfortable in the duplicity of things before me. It's a state of normal that I'm very okay with. But not everybody is, and I understand that. And it's a place now that we have to work together. It's a place now that faith needs to be your continual reset and anchor point. And as we work together and walk together, what could be a highly stressful or highly chaotic environment can be navigated with a sense of calm, a sense of focus, a sense of clarity that many people won't necessarily experience. To a large degree, that's part of the family that we've built here. This family is bigger than a family. It's really an army. Because a family just hangs out. An army has a purpose and a function, and we have both. We've built the bonds of unity through the Bard's platform. We have built the strength of focus to fight this fight. And it's a gift that we each have now that we need to carry with us to help others. And as we approach towards bigger events like Bard's Fest and other things, it's not just an option, it's something that we have to accept that it's part of our mission to extend that light to others, to bring them to a place of calm. The moments of anxiety and chaos are what drive people to fear, which makes them make really bad decisions. In a training exercise I was in when I first went into the National Guard, I had an amazing platoon sergeant. He was a Vietnam veteran. I liked him a lot. He taught a lot, and I learned a lot from him. We were on an urban assault exercise. I was the squad leader. I was leading the assault. And we had cleared 4 of the 5 buildings with quite a bit of effort. And we arrived at the final assault point, which was the final building. And he joined us. And what happened right then was, it's always stayed with me, because in a very unfortunate moment, all of the noise and the flashbangs we were using and the gunfire that was going on, he fell into a post-traumatic stress collapse before us. He froze. He was unable to make a decision. He couldn't repeat. He couldn't speak a sentence. This was a great platoon sergeant. He had spent time in Vietnam, as I said, but he froze. And in that moment, I had to make a very difficult decision, because you respect your platoon sergeant, but the mission has to move on. So I did. And I looked to the guys and I said, "Platoon sergeant's down. Follow me. Let's go." And we did, and we took the final objective. You never know how that's going to be received. It was received well. He never said anything about it. And it was commented later that, you know, the exact thing that has to happen in times of conflict. Each one of us has that place in this fight, and you will find those moments will arise. The best thing about it is, as long as you keep your faith solid and you see clearly before you and you don't let fear creep up on you, and it will try. Fear will try to creep up on you. As long as you don't let fear creep up on you, because that's the shield of faith that you always have, you'll be fine. Just remember to keep your eye on the objective. Don't lose sight for the chaos in the moment. And as you keep your sight on the objective, you'll go just fine. You'll arrive at the destiny that you need to be, as you need to be. God will be with you. Christ in your heart. Your shield is up. Your sword of truth is blazing. And victory is yours. These fights are daily, because it's a fight of deception and a fight of deceit all around us all the time. At this point, the battlefield, again, it's plural. It's everywhere. In time, maybe it'll change. But for now, fight those fights nobly. Always put God first. Always remember to laugh a little. It's what heals the heart and the soul. And in the end, take a moment just to have a conversation with God. We always thank Him, but have a conversation with God. Tell Him how you feel. Tell him what's on your mind. Ask him, maybe ask him what he thought about how you did. And above all, listen. He's got a lot to say, and we have a lot to learn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, the time in which we've been called to live, a time which we've been called to stand in and to stand up to a very dark and seemingly powerful evil. Let us not forget, Lord, that we are your children, that you've created us in your image, and that we have within us the love of Christ and your power and love within us as well. Let us be able to always remember that, even in the midst of the chaos, when the things seem like they're falling apart. Let us never forget that strength that flows with us. Let us take a moment to reflect on the beauty of the world around us. Let's take time to laugh at the ridiculous things that we witness. Remind us to laugh with you as well, to share our time and to share our days and our moments with you, not just to take, not just to kneel before you, but to have lunch with you, take a walk in the garden with you, walk around and watch people with face diapers on, just to enjoy life as it is. You've made this a perfect world. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of being here. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing in this time. Thank you for the strength you give us. Thank you for the eyes you've given us to see. Thank you for the ears that we have to hear. And above all, let us truly be able to listen to what you have to say, to put it in our heart, to guide us and direct us as you need us in this war. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. It is an amazing time when we let it be an amazing time. So you have to run towards the guns. When you hear those cannons roar, you want to step towards that sound. That's the place to be. When someone takes a shot at you, you don't run the other way, you run at them. At least that's what I do. Because it always, to be blunt, it pisses me off when they try to kill me. It's not their job to do. So, be bold. Be strong. Breathe. Focus. Be relentless. And learn your true strength. That is within you. That's the fire of God within you. That's Christ that awakens through you. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. You're soldiers in this fight. You're soldiers in the Lord's army. And it's a beautiful honor to be part of that. You aren't here by accident. You aren't here because you stumbled and tripped into the right place. You're here because you were guided and God wants you here. Get to know the people around you in this great battle. You get to know the people you can trust that are there for you, prayer warriors that'll stand with you. Armed with the divine power of God, there's nothing that can stop us. God is always with us. He will never forsake us. And the most incredible part is, we know God will always win. So in the end, anybody else on the other side? They don't got much. Other than a lot of noise. In simple terms, God's got this, we've got this. It's going to be a pretty crazy ride, but we'll be okay in the end. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now.
Sometimes when belonging becomes something to fight.